a couple of words about procedure. Now, our final speaker will be Gary Washington. Gary is currently a shop steward for Graphics Communication Union, Local 527. He has a long history of involvement in the struggle. Back in 1972, he was the president of the Mead Workers Caucus, which was an independent worker organization that led a very protracted and successful wildcat strike against the conditions that were prevalent at that time. He currently is involved in anti-Klan work in the South and has recently assisted in the formation of a self-defense organization to defend against the increased violence of the Klan. Gary also is affiliated with Radio Free Georgia in Atlanta, and he hosts a program called Labor Forum that deals with reports on the labor struggles throughout the region. Gary Washington.
Excuse me, I'm going to be brief. I'm going to tone mine down to 10 minutes so we can get into questions and deal with that and get out of here. I'd like to pay respect to the speakers before me. Lani Sunny Ali, a dynamic woman in the liberation movement. I wish you had been with me earlier today downtown when a sister about my color with blonde hair with a Madonna t-shirt on was at the corner crossing going to the red light, dressed like Madonna. And I just had to engage the sister in conversation. I said, you know, what is this? Is this a new thing? Are young black sisters getting into this? She said, well, you know, Madonna's my role model. You know, it was an incredible thing, a young sister coming up with that kind of mentality. Madonna, you know, and I got into a discussion with her about Malcolm and this conference down here, and she just wasn't into that. These are the young people that we need to reach. They need role models such as Sister Fulani Sunny Ali. She's a rock in the movement. I respect that sister. And there are other sisters out here that I don't know their history that this sister could really be helped by. This sister is walking somewhere in this city of New York City in need of help desperately. The point that Fulani talked about in the military, there's a lot of things that we don't get at the conferences. It is an important thing. General Motors lays off thousands of black workers all over the country and then buys companies to get contracts to deal with the Strategic Defense Initiative. That's this silly space shield that they're supposed that Reagan came up with. And it's just incredible. General Motors is involved in the whole weapons industry. Black people need to know that when we go to these conferences and stuff. And I'm sure Malcolm would have been against that. My main talk is going to be about community self-defense. Workers love Malcolm. I don't care where they live, the South or wherever. But as I get into that, I still wanted to pay respect to the other speakers. Don Stone, author of Fallen Prince. He has been around a long time. Don used to work in the Black Workers' Congress. He has a long history. He worked in Atlanta with a brother who was head of the Atlanta Black Panther Party. What was his name? You remember his name, Yvonne? Ron Carter. Ron Carter, strong brother that believed in self-defense. Because as we talk about these different things, we've got to be about self-defense. It seems to be a scary thing. I'm usually not even allowed to, usually can't even get on programs to even speak about self-defense. I don't understand. When the skinheads get out here and these other whites are teaching their young people how to use weapons, and we use fiery rhetoric, because I heard a brother in 1989, I mean, he talked to the point of we need to have troops, black troops from our community stationed in different places. And when I talked to him after the meeting in a question and answer thing, just about a little community self-defense thing, he said it wasn't time for that. You know, we got to be for real in using this rhetoric. Saladin Muhammad, the point that you made about uniting our struggle, that's an important thing. Saladin has been on the phone talking to me, sending letters to me. Have I tried to unite the struggle in Atlanta with the struggle there? No. I'll be here. I tell you to your face. I'm not going to try to smooth things out. No. And I'm doing self-criticism right before you. No. But, Saladin, I promise you right now, I'm going to do that. I'm going to regularly send packets to you and let you know what's going on, because we got to do that. That's important. When Saladin said that, it just stepped all on my toes over there. I felt so bad. I felt so bad because I hadn't done that. But I'm going to do that. And I'm going to get on the phone regularly, Saladin. I'm going to get your number before we leave here. I've got a subscription to Justice Speaks, which isn't enough. We've got to unite these struggles. Sister Shop, you're back here in the back. Sister that I loved and worked with in Atlanta. works with Saladin. The Black Workers for Justice movement is a movement that must be supported. Akinyele Umoja of NAPO, strong brother, strong brother. Right here with Chokwe, what did Chokwe say yesterday? At every workshop, every conference that we had, we need to be talking about self-defense. We need to be talking. It's an important thing. This whole thing here is a continuation of what happened not long ago. Somebody gave me this by mistake, but I can still use it. Black Nation Day Conference, 1990. I mean, what are we about? Self-determination or genocide? That. These are important questions that's facing our people. It's a very important thing. I cannot say enough about Akinyele and NAPO. John Brown Anti-Klan Committee has provided me with invaluable information that I have been able to use in my struggle against the Klan. When I just use the Klan in general, I'm talking about all of the white supremacist groups that have been threatening our people that we must move on. And I've been working on this ever since 1981. This is a serious movement. I'm not going to give you a historical analysis. I'm just going to get up here, show you specifics, sit down, because I got about eight more minutes left. Sit down, and then we get into the whole question and answer. Albert Thrasher from New Orleans. I've worked with Malcolm Super over the years. I knew when Albert stood up here that if Malcolm sent him, he was down with us. The statement that you made, no movement is valid without a political program. That's gonna stay with me, and I'm gonna use that. And everybody here needs to use that. These are important heroes that, from my vantage point of dealing in self-defense, must be respected and protected. Must be respected and protected. And we just can't take this lightly. I cannot say enough about self-defense. A brother just passed that dealt with self-defense. His name is Shimoringa Jinga. You might not know him, but he's a very important brother. Organized the Bat Patrol during the missing and murdered children's case in Atlanta. Very courageous brother. The brother, problems came down with him, and then he took the way out of suicide. He's a strong brother. We're still investigating it, because, hey, I don't believe it. A lot of other people don't believe it. These are the kind of brothers that they vamp on. His name was Shimoringa Jinga. I went to his funeral this year. It's incredible. One of our own members. I mean, I've been going to a lot of funerals of people that stand strong. One of our own members of the self-defense group that we organized was shot three times in the back in an area called West End. We're still a 27-year-old brother, and we're trying to investigate to find out who is the perpetrator. A lot of the people in the community of West End know who the perpetrator was, but he is such of a violent nature, they're afraid of retribution. But we're going to find out if it kills us. Dealing with unfinished business up here. This whole thing around the missing and murdered children's case in Atlanta is a very important thing that people have asked me a lot about. And that's one of the things that our self-defense group is going to try to deal with. There's a book that I know you've seen at this conference that I've had for years. It's called The Klan Killed the Black Children in Atlanta. There was another book by Rayolite Newsletter, The Murdered Atlanta Children, the Wayne Williams Case, and the Fight for African-American National Liberation. Very important book. Another book, The Death Squad Behind the Atlanta Child Murders Case. One thing that's the same in all these books that come out from different perspectives is that the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan, was involved in the murder of black children in Atlanta. Now on the news, now in the newspapers, you don't hear a lot about the missing and murdered children's case. But this was one of the most dynamic cases of assault against black people that, I mean, it was just an atrocity that we should still be screaming about. I've never forgot it. I'm never gonna forget it. And we have learned the perpetrators that they have talked about in here. There's a Klan group called the Sanders family. It's five of them. And we zeroing in on them. We're zeroing in on them. It's only a matter of time, something's going to come down. I know people don't like to talk about these kind of things, but I think that they just willfully murder these children like that. They must be respected. They must be protected. Albert Thrasher brought out about the whole slave mentalities of these blacks that are in political power. Maynard Jackson knew what the deal was. President Bush was sent to Atlanta because he had heard that blacks from all around the country were going to come to Atlanta to really stir up something. Manny Jackson knew what the deal was. Andrew Young knew what it is. All these little petty bourgeois blacks know what the deal was, but they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do anything. We're dealing with a class thing here, too. These were poor black children. We get caught up in, like, different movements, different cases that come down, and forget. We cannot forget the missing and murdered children's case of Atlanta. And we have definitely got a tie-in to it. It was also brought up by Akin Yealy about Blakely, Georgia. In Blakely, Georgia, there's a fire chief and firemen that are in the Ku Klux Klan. Well, it just so happened that the Grand Titan, who was over this fire chief, works where I work at. And I work at a place, and you need to remember the name of this place. And this place is called the Mead Packaging Company. And at that company, and I've talked about it many times before, there's so much dynamics behind it. At this place in Atlanta, Georgia, the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, there are 25 known organized Klansmen. And we're not talking about some ordinary Klansmen, some rank and file Klansmen that don't do anything. In Blakely, Georgia, two, it has been recorded, two black children have died because of negligence of the Ku Klux Klan in the police department. Of course, they denied it, but a letter was found that was written by Danny Carver, head of the Georgia Klan, that states in there that not only are these members, but a man by the name of Spivey, who works third shift and is a shop steward within my union, is over these, and they receive directions from this clown. He works at third shift on my job. We're dealing with some serious, we're dealing with murder. We're dealing with outright murder. And are we going to leave it to the police agencies and the government to deal with it? No, we're going to leave. I mean, I think that if we give rhetoric about dealing with things, well, then we need to do it. And if nobody in this room is willing to do it, then we're organized to do it. I mean, we're already organized to do it, and we know who the perpetrators are. Is this taking the law into our own hands? I mean, the law of the black nation is different from the law of the land. So I say that these individuals have to pay. If you want to see what these individuals look like, because I'm getting ready to conclude this whole thing, I've got pictures of them. I've got James Spivey without his robe on, and I've got James Spivey with his robe on. We're talking about the real deal. We're not talking about speaking in general realities that this cracker is in the Klan or some kind of thing like that. We're talking about the real thing. They shot up a home in Mapleton with machine guns that we were called in. And you can see it, the bullet hole all up and down there. I mean, these are the kind of cases that we have been called in on. Somebody asked me, what's the name of your self-defense group? We don't even have any name. I mean, I saw what went down with the Panthers and all that. I'm paranoid as I don't know what. I mean, I can tell you the bad sides of it. I suffer stress. I don't really trust that many people. The strike that we were involved in 72, the Central Intelligence Agency was brought in on. Now, they had, you know, you don't see that many strikes that the CIA is involved in. You might ask yourself, why was the CIA involved in it? There was a Marxist-Leninist group there called the October League, and they were letting workers go to Red China. So we're talking about a serious situation. They were letting workers go to Red China. So I'm already aware of FBI. I've been arrested. I was arrested here about 4.5 weeks ago. A lot of people don't know that because I keep a lot of things secret. It was for making terroristic threats, and it was an illegal weapons charge. I had a hearing coming up, and that was about 3.5 weeks ago, and I hadn't shown up for the hearing yet. And what I'm doing, I'm trying to challenge the police chief, one of these handkerchief head slave mentality blacks that they have in Atlanta. I'm trying to challenge him with information that we've had, that we uncovered with our group on him, and how it got me. Things get crazy. When he was a lieutenant in the police department, he was going out with a woman that I knew. And it just scared me when I found it out. So I had all this information. And it must be right on the money because I hadn't had to go to a hearing yet. I might go down, but I'll take him down with me. I'll take Maynard Jackson. I mean, if it got to go down like that, we'll have to take all these slaves down with Maynard Jackson. They bring the Olympics there. It'll make them look bad. I've got information that's really gonna deal with him. Like I said, this is serious stuff. One of the last things I want to show you, how we really found out about this Klan group in Atlanta. They put a leaflet out. And white workers trusted me because as a shop steward, I tried to represent everybody. At this leaflet, there's an address at the bottom. And that address, we went to it and found out it was a gun shop specializing in semi-automatic weapons in Cobb County in Atlanta. And these whites were like bringing their kids, girlfriends, and everything doing weapons training. Black people, it's time for some serious business. We got to do something. I mean, it goes beyond rhetoric. It goes beyond applause because you heard something that really turned you on. We got to get out there and start dealing. And this isn't the glamorous side when you start organizing that. I know it. I'd much rather, most of the time, I'm speaking to people that don't even know what's going down at conferences like this. I'm speaking to people who don't even know the history of Fannie Lou Hamer and these kinds of things, trying to organize them around the issues of self-defense. It's an important thing for me to come here and speak to you. And there was one other leaflet that I wanted to show you before I take my seat because I want to hear some of the questions that went down, because this is an important thing. Because I was so successful, went around the country speaking about it, got on television, they had the nerve to distribute a leaflet and put my picture on. And this tries to state that I'm not a black leader, cut out pictures from a newsletter of me to white women who I had to represent as a shop steward, and put them in areas where black people could get them, just to try to throw the movement off track. And this is how they do. This is how they will operate. But they know one thing, and we've had to visit some of them at their homes to do some of this night riding stuff. They know once they touch any of us, something's going to happen. And they don't know who it is, but they do know where we live. And I guess if it wasn't for that fact, that they know we go beyond rhetoric, we go beyond rhetoric. I'm not afraid to tell you, we go beyond rhetoric, and we have visited a number of them, and we don't play, I probably would be dead today. But if something happened to me, something's going to happen to them. Thank you.